Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hoping to have with us on the line very, very soon Paul Christopher. And Paul has written a fascinating book. It's called Alien Intervention. And I just thought maybe I'd start out by reading the introduction to you. Those of you who perhaps had seen the X-Files on Fox television a few years ago will remember that they often open their program with that caption, "The truth is out there." And there was this picture they would have down in Mulder's office, "The truth is out there." Well, here's what Paul wrote. "Something unimaginable is going on. It involves our entire planet. Yet hardly anyone realizes it. Most of us are busy trying to make a living, raise a family, or get an education, and therefore don't realize or recognize its mechanism. We only see what is on the surface because that's all we're supposed to see. We assume that we're getting all the facts, when in actuality, what we're seeing and hearing is merely the tip of an iceberg, just a glimpse of what is really going on. We are, however, being conditioned to think a certain way and to accept certain beliefs. It's an ongoing process. It began a long time ago. It's targeting everyone, especially the children. It's affecting millions globally. UFOs, UFO contacts, alien abductions, animal mutilations, crop circles, some visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, psychic phenomena, the supernatural, religion, the occult, numerology, astrology, science, politics. The United States government and military, television, and certain key individuals, along with the general public, are collectively instrumental in fueling its sinister plan. This book seeks to uncover and reveal the startling truth regarding why UFO events are occurring worldwide. It examines and details who is being contacted and for what reason, how specific organizations are formed to aid and promulgate the idea of an alien scheme, and what the complex underlying purpose is in this cosmic intrusion that has plagued humanity for some 50 years. The startling evidence presented points to the fact that these activities are culminating into some fantastic near-future event. The hidden agenda cannot remain hidden. The secret mission must no longer remain a secret. Questions that have arisen over decades must be finally addressed. The truth is out there. It must be told." Paul, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Hi, Stan. How you doing?
Fine. Well, this is Paul Christopher. He wrote the book. How long ago did you write the book, Paul?
Back in 1995, I started and finished it early 1997.
All right. Of course, you've been very interested in this phenomenon for a long time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You've been looking into this for some 20 years because you'd personally seen a UFO.
Yeah, that's correct. I grew up in northeastern New Jersey and witnessed numerous UFO-type objects in the skies there when I was a young child. And eventually it became an obsession because I was seeing these things so often. And I really delved into the whole UFO mystery, started basically reading every book I could get my hands on, and constantly going out there looking for these things, because at that time I pretty much thought they were an extraterrestrial origin. But later came to the conclusion that they are not.
All right. Of course, there is a very conscious effort to confuse the American people. All the talk about Roswell, New Mexico, government cover-up. Well, if there's a government cover-up, obviously they're covering up the fact that there really are these aliens and they don't want us to know about them. or at least that's what we are supposed to believe. And as you get into this deeper and deeper, you realize the extent that they've gone to confuse the American people. And I have a book in my library, a number of books on UFOs, but one of them is written by the former Air Marshal of England. He would be correspond to the Secretary of the Air Force over there. And he said, you know, if these were really a military craft, that these vehicles, that people, these space vehicles people see, I would know about it. And he said, as you evaluate them, there's only one really logical explanation, and that is that they are metaphysical. In other words, they come from another time, another dimension. And this is what people have to understand, is that there really is a spirit world out there that most people don't want to think about. Because after all, if there's a spirit world, then they're going to have to face the fact that God is real, and that there really is a spiritual battle taking place between God and his angels, and Lucifer and his demons. And we have to choose one side or the other. We just should not be involved in this. We just want to live our lives. But you see, we can't just live our lives, because unfortunately, we are all involved in this cosmic battle, this eternal battle between good and evil that is being played out in the world today, as you point out so well, in preparation for the coming again of our Lord. But then, as you read your book, you point out that the other side is planning on bringing in false Christ to confuse us.
Definitely. And what's really interesting is the actual rise of the Antichrist, or this New Age Messiah, so to speak, is you can actually find links to the UFO phenomenon. And I bring these points out in the book. One is Lord Maitreya and Benjamin Krem, who started out back in the 50s. He hooked up with the Etheria Society, George King's group, who was a UFO contactee group, and eventually went on his own and started channeling these ascended masters of the Great White Brotherhood, who are this group of elite beings, some believe they're extraterrestrials, who want to bring about this New Age Christ and bring him about on this earth, supposedly in the near future. So yeah, there are ties to UFO phenomenon.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening is Paul Christopher. We're talking about his book, Alien Intervention. And what is really so amazing is there are all sorts of manifestations of this supernatural force, these supernatural events around us, and yet we totally ignore them. The crop circles. Oh, there are always the people who say, oh, that's just a bunch of kids out there in the field, and they got a post in the middle, and they're all running around with a rope, and that's how they get a complete circle. And they have all these explanations, but none of them are really valid. If you see these designs in the fields, both here in the United States and in Great Britain, these were not made just accidentally. These are not hoaxes. There is some supernatural force out there. Well, of course, the people on the other side don't want you to understand that this really is a real phenomenon. There is power in a Ouija board, and you never want to tap into that. But you can tap into these, and tragically, an awful lot of our young people are doing that. I did a radio program not too long ago on one of the rather far-out radio networks, and I got an email after that from a witch, and she was quite incensed at some of the things I'd said, and she was telling me about the witches. She's a witch, and you know that she's well, there's some bad witches, but most witches are good, and they simply practice the charms and cast their spells as part of their prayer. And the purpose of her witchcraft is to be able to contact beings from another dimension. That was what she said. Our purpose is to contact beings from another dimension. Well, who are these beings, and what's the other dimension? Why, this, of course, is the demonic realm. She doesn't recognize that. I think that most of the people who are involved in this have no idea what they are really into. And certainly if they listen to most programs here in the United States, they'll never catch a glimpse at all of what this is all about. You mentioned in your book, The Cattle Mutilations. You mentioned so many of these supernatural phenomena that are so intriguing to people. They're so nobody in television is ever going to mention the spiritual component of what this is really about, will they?
No, there are so many things involved, and what I've discovered is when you delve into studying the paranormal, and there's so many things involved, ghosts, mysterious creatures, UFOs, apparitions of the Virgin Mary, all these things are linked together, and you'll find the connections as you go along and study them. You mentioned earlier about the Ouija board, and what's interesting is studying the UFO phenomenon, I found out that a lot of the contacts in the 1950s, they were using Ouija boards to contact these extraterrestrials. And I was like, wow, that's odd. And then now, even in the 1980s and 1990s, the same thing occurred too. And it's interesting that they, you know, the Ouija board now is actually called, they have new ones called angel boards. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
But of course, it is simply a counterfeit. It's to lure Christians into delving into the supernatural and open themselves up to these demonic manifestations.
Definitely.
Well, of course, you go into the history of so many of the people who've seen these UFOs down through the years. And there seems to be an cyclical recurrence of the UFO sightings. There were an awful lot of sightings in the 1950s, weren't there?
Oh, definitely. That's when it pretty much exploded, and that was a key decade. The contactees of the 1950s, and what's interesting is a lot of these contacts occurred in the Mojave Desert in California, and of course the famous biblical verse of Matthew 24, do not go into the desert and seek out these things. Which was really interesting. Yeah, the 50s was a real important decade, and I mentioned earlier about Benjamin Krem. That's when he joined George King's Aetherius Society, and he was influenced by the first contactee, which was George Adamski, who had a contact with a supposed extraterrestrial in the Mojave Desert in California. But a lot of the contacts occurred through channeling, believe it or not, even at in the early 50s. I know channeling's been a big thing in the 80s and 90s. And what people have to realize that it's very dangerous to try to get in touch with these entities, because channeling, and there's actually three types of channeling. There's the first one is a trance channeling, which occurs when an individual enters into a trance-like state and is not conscious of this unseen entity that utilizes this person's body by speaking directly through him. And if you look at it, it's very similar to demonic possession.
Of course, a lot of people say, oh, well, they're just putting this thing on. You know, and there may be instances where some of this is put on, but I fear that many of these are manifestations of demonic, taking over demonic seizure of the people's personality. And when you begin studying this in any length, you'll find that there really are these other entities, these other personalities that can take over people's bodies.
Definitely, yeah.
And this is really what is so incredible, that there is, and it used to be, of course, that this was seen predominantly in underdeveloped countries. You'd see this sort of thing in Africa. A great deal of this demonic possession in Africa, in the Orient. You hardly ever saw it in America, when America was truly a Christian nation. But of course, over the last 30 years, all that has changed, and changed dramatically as America's moved from being a Christian nation to being a pagan nation, where we outlaw God and prayer in our schools and indoctrinate our children, to that there is no God, and then we wonder why we begin to see more and more of these demonic manifestations all around us. And increasingly, I think that they're having a profound impact on the unfolding of world events. Now, you talk about some of the instances where actually these have appeared over Washington, D.C. On a cyclic basis. Would you like to cover that at all?
Yeah, that was there was some incredible sightings back in the early 50s, and it happened consecutively. There was two nights, and then a week later, there was another two nights of an assortment of lights or craft right over Washington, D.C. And I later learned that there was a supposed extraterrestrial in Washington, D.C. at the time that ordered those ships to fly over, which was really remarkable. But there's so many ties to government, military. I mentioned another thing. I don't know if you're familiar with, there was a contactee of the 50s named Gabriel Green, who was supposedly in contact with these space brothers of the Great White Brotherhood, and he actually was on the presidential ballot in 1960, and he was supposedly asked by these ETs, these intelligences, to run for president. He withdrew in support of John F. Kennedy, and then 12 years later, 1972, he ran again for president under, I think it was the Universal Party, and this was as a direct result of these contacts with these supposed ETs. So it's very frightening what could be going on here.
Well, I think that people must understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle. It's taking place all around us, and most people don't even know that there's a problem. Now, of course, one of the things that's really so interesting is this story of alien abductions. And I know when I first heard this years ago, I really considered the people who talked about this had to be stark raving mad. And yet, if you read the book by my good friend Chuck Missler, he's gone into the analysis of this done by a professor at Harvard, who's actually studied over 5,000 people who feel that they were abducted, and noticed there was a consistent pattern of story between these people, even though they had no connection with one another. And there was always certain sexual implications on what happened and what they were told, and their description of what happened to them when they were abducted, to the point where this professor of psychiatry was firmly convinced that these people were experiencing something. Some very real phenomenon. Have you gotten into the alien abduction?
Oh yeah. I devote a chapter, a couple chapters to that. When you look at the alien abduction phenomena, first of all, you have to understand the technique that these therapists are using to extract these memories from these individuals, and that is hypnotic regression. And when an abductee undergoes hypnotic regression, the therapist can only reach the surface layers. So these entities are actually manipulating these people's minds into thinking. When they bring out these thoughts, it could be something totally different than what's really happening. So you're getting similar accounts from all these abductees and what they're revealing. And these entities, of course, are incorporating some sensational information and planting it in these people's brains.
And then, of course, the psychiatrist picks this up, puts it out, and we accept it as valid.
Exactly. They're actually false memories. That's what's going on. And if they keep using this hypnotic regression, they're never going to get to the truth.
All right. Well, our guest this evening is Paul Christopher. His book, Alien Intervention, we're talking about the UFO phenomenon, the crop circles. But all of these are demonic manifestations. When you understand that, it all begins to make sense. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest this evening. And welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Paul Christopher, his book, Alien Intervention, going into the background of these demonic manifestations that are taking place today. And there are certain sites where these demons manifest themselves much more than at other areas. There are certain holy sites for those who worship the dark side. Would you like to get into that concept, Paul, and where these sites are, where these people gather on a regular basis to try to contact these supernatural spirits, the Great White Brotherhood? It's a truly demonic beings, but they manifest as these wise people who've gone through generation after generation, going along with the Sindhu idea going back through life after life after life, reincarnation. So pick up the story there. What are these sites here in the United States where people go to for these psychic experiences or for contacting the spirits?
Right. There definitely are these secret places. They're not secret anymore because the New Age movement kind of brought all these places out. One of them is Mount Shasta in California. That's considered to be one of the more popular power spots in the United States. That's the term they use for them.
And by power spots, you mean this is a spiritual power spot. This is an area
right.
where if you go there and you pray in the right way, you will, of course, be in contact with this extraterrestrial power that they believe in. Of course, it's really not extraterrestrial at all.
Right. And, yeah, it's a place, it basically started with this New Age movement, which actually stemmed from, I think, a lot of the UFO contacts in the 50s. But, yeah, there's these certain specific geographical locations throughout the world where these New Agers believe that that these physical geographical locations contain high concentrations of psychic energy, and they flock to these locations because they believe that their channelings will work better. The transmissions that they receive from these entities it's easier for them to take place, and that's true. That's what happens. Sedona, Arizona is another area. The Grand Tetons in Upper Wyoming and Montana is another spot, and we mentioned that that's where the Church Universal and Triumphant's headquarters are. Another one is the Black Hills of South Dakota. Actually, there's points all over the world, and when I got heavily involved into the sightings of UFOs, I once mapped out the United States and found that all these sightings were in these similar areas. There's a large concentration of not only UFO sightings, but you can have mysterious creatures. You can have animal mutilations occurring in these areas. An apparition of the Virgin Mary can occur. So there are these specific geographical locations. And what's interesting too is, I discovered that there was a deviation in the Earth's magnetic field in these areas. So there's definitely a connection with the magnetism of the Earth.
All right, fine. Will you hold that thought there for just a moment, and we'll be right back. Go. Well, our guest this evening, Paul Christopher, his book is An Intervention. And it is amazing how gullible so many people are to really believe that there are aliens from outer space. And to focus our attention on that, and there have been so many motion pictures put out, contact, we just have to contact these people from outer space. They're probably so much smarter than we are, without realizing there's no evidence that there is life anywhere else in the universe. And all the evidence is that you have to have an amazing control over the climate and, of course, the way the Earth works for this to be able to support human life. And as far as we know, there is no other place, there are no other people on the other planets. These are demonic manifestations. And the thing is that these demonic spirits can certainly appear as an angel of light. They can appear in all sorts of forms. And if you are unfortunate enough to open yourself up to them, they can literally take you over. And there are instances, many instances, of frank demonic possession. But there are people who really want this. Many people want to have these entities channel things through them. This is what happened with Madame Blavatsky, the woman who formed the Theosophical Society. She opened herself up to a demonic spirit called Joie Cool, and he channeled all of these books, which had such a profound impact on our life today. Books that were read by Adolf Hitler, books that were read by Margaret Sanger, who formed the Planned Parenthood organization, books that were read by Thomas Edison, who gave us the motion picture and electric lights and many of the things that make our life comfortable today. But of course, they had their origin in the demonic realm. And I'm not suggesting we wouldn't use them at all today, but I think we need to know how these people got there. We think they were geniuses, and I'm sure they were brilliant, but Thomas Edison went into states of meditation. He was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky, and out of that, of course, came many of the ideas that made his name commonplace throughout America. But when you begin tapping into these dark forces for ideas, while you're laying yourself open to eternal damnation. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-244-Liberty. That's 1-888-24-Liberty, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, our guest is Paul Christopher. His book is Alien Intervention, and we think it's a very important book. It's subtitled The Spiritual Mission of UFOs. And certainly there are people within government who know exactly what this is about, and that's why they keep playing this game. Oh, it's all about Roswell. Oh, the government has a program to cover up the truth. Well, they do have a program to cover up the truth, and the truth is these are demonic beings. And we even have a video and DVD. It stars Lou Gossett Jr., and I believe the title of it is Deceived, and it's the story of how the government is tapping into these demonic spirits. Now, admittedly, it's fictionalized, and yet we know that there have been those within government who have always wanted to tap into these spirits because it would give them a tremendous advantage over the enemy. And fearing the enemy would tap into the spirits, they've tried to tap into the spirits with disastrous consequences. That video, which we have Deceived, I can recommend it to you. It's a wonderful story. Would you like an exciting video that has a true great Christian message? It's really built around this concept, very, very similar to the very, very popular movie called Contact, and that's based upon the idea that their army is trying to contact these sounds, these beings from outer space. You'll find it a fascinating evening if you'd like to get it, either the video or the DVD called Deceived with Lou Gossett Jr., who does a magnificent job as one of the Army colonels, tapping into the supernatural, of course, in the name of national security. As we get more and more into this, Paul's book tells the story of so many people who've tried to tap into this supernatural power, and of course, what happened to them, their stories. Now, would you like to tell us just a few more, Paul?
Sure. I mentioned earlier about the channeling, and I think that's a good point to bring out because a lot of these contacts occur through channeling, where a person basically gives up their body to these entities, and it's a very dangerous occurrence.
Well, something you certainly never want to toy with. You.
Yeah.
You don't even want to look into this other than to know that it's there because it's so easy to get drawn in. We're going to have to take a quick break when we get back. Of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-Liberty or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Paul Christopher, his book, Alien Intervention. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Paul had actually seen UFOs. He wanted to learn more about them, but the more he learned, the more apparent it became to him that these were not extraterrestrials from outer space. These were, of course, demonic manifestations, a part of this eternal battle, this spiritual battle that engulfs our society today. So pick up the story from there, Paul.
Yeah, I was mentioning about the channeling, because when I delved into the whole UFO phenomenon, of course, when I was younger, I was out looking for these things and had a camera in my car trying to photograph them everywhere I went. But eventually, to really find out the truth, you had to study the contacts. So I started looking into who was contacted and how. And then I discovered that there was the supernatural force involved within all these contacts. And I said, well, that's odd. You know, why would extraterrestrials be doing that? Why don't they just land on the freaking White House lawn, you know? And I mentioned earlier about the channeling, and there's so many people involved in this. And what's frightening to me is that the channeling has now taken three forms. I mentioned earlier the trance channeling. But now, as we enter into the year 2000, we're seeing a lot of conscious channeling, which occurs when these unseen entities actually join the human in his or her body, and that this human being is fully conscious and provides this vehicle for this entity to work through. And if you read a lot of the New Age books, you'll see the term twin souls, and that's what they're referring to in this. This is the conscious channelers, and there's quite a number of them out there. And the third one is called full body channeling, where the soul of a human individual actually leaves his or her body, and this unseen entity or supposed extraterrestrial, and we know them as demonic spirits, literally takes over and possesses this person's body and utilizes it as its own. And in the New Age terminology, they refer to them as walk-ins. You've probably seen that term, walk-ins or starseeds. And there's quite a number of them around, too. And matter of fact...
Hold that thought for just a moment, Paul. Well, these are simply all manifestations of this spiritual battle that's taking place today, and whether you call it cattle mutilations or crop circles or UFO sightings or alien abductions, or there are many, many explanations out there, but they all have a common origin, and that is the one thing they don't want you to understand. They really want you to believe that they are aliens from outer space, because the last thing that the powers that be want is for the Christians in America to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, cultural, ideological, economic battlefield. And, of course, the great, great tragedy is most people don't even know that battle is going on. They're too busy trying to make a living, raising their children, having their job, and they don't recognize that there is the spiritual entities that are there manifesting, and they've been here since the beginning of time. Only now, here in the United States, as this country has turned against God, they are having more and more of an impact on every aspect of our lives. Wouldn't that be true, Paul, or would you agree with that?
Most definitely. If you look at the whole UFO phenomenon, there's definitely been this conditioning process that's been going on since the 40s and 50s, where humanity has been conditioned to think that these beings are extraterrestrial. I mean, if you probably took a survey today, I'm sure 75% of society would say that these entities were UFOs or extraterrestrial in origin. So that part of the strategy, I feel, has worked. The deceit of Satan is definitely upon us. And as we continue into the future, humanity has been manipulated to think that these beings are extraterrestrials, and that to me is a very dangerous stratagem at work.
They've even had, I remember, a television program not too long ago that was getting into this one division, supposedly in the military, and their job, of course, is to conceal the fact from the American people that there really are extraterrestrials. It was a fascinating series of programs, really very believable, unless you really understood what it was all about, and that was to confuse you to the point where you would not be able to think effectively about what's going on and realize that there is these spiritual entities out there. Now, one of the most interesting things is the story that the people who have been abducted tell, and that is that often they've had sexual encounters. In other words, they've been these beings have collected either sperm or ova, and there seems to be something about human reproduction that fascinates these demonic beings. Have you encountered that in your studies?
Oh, most definitely. And like I said before, they're getting these surface layers. And if you go back to even the Middle Ages, that was going on then too with the incubus-succubus phenomenon. That's very similar to what happened back then. And, of course, during the Middle Ages, Satanism was very powerful back then. So you can definitely see a tie-in with the abduction phenomenon and the demonic possession.
And many people have commented that we remember Christ's prophecy, how it would be at the time of his return. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return, or words to that effect. Well, what do we know about how things were at the days of Noah? Well, one of the things we know is that the sons of God, and that term is used, but actually, of course, these were satanic beings, had mated with women and produced a new race that were called the Nephilim. And, you know, these were giants. These were people of great strength and great knowledge and power and wisdom. And the world was so evil that God said there's only one thing I can do is that destroy everything but Noah and his family. And so all human life had to be destroyed at that time because of this sexual reproduction, this mating between these demonic beings and, of course, women. And as we see what's going on today, and we see this recurrent story, and everything I have read from various sources, whether it be Chuck Missler's book, Alien Abduction, or your book, Alien Intervention, or many of the other books that have been written out there, always emphasize when there is an alien abduction, so often there is something having to do with human reproduction or reproducing human beings by these demonic spirits. That's a little scary, almost as if maybe they would like to breed a new race of Nephilim at this time to make it more like as it was in the days of Noah. Have you considered that?
That would be frightening, wouldn't it? Yeah, well, the abduction phenomenon is a very touchy situation. I've actually been in contact with a couple abductees, and It's a really bizarre phenomenon, and certainly that's one of the scenarios that they think is going on, that they're having these sexual relations, and that supposedly human alien offspring are being created.
Well, so, we don't know that, but no. Anything, of course, is possible in this world we live where the average individual has so little idea what's really going on in the world.
Right, right. You know, I've never encountered a human alien, but then again, they could be just like you and me. So you know, I seriously doubt that that's going on.
No, I certainly doubt too. I certainly hope it is not going on. But
that would be my point of view. Like I said before, you know, when you got these sleepers, you know, the abductees are actually, I consider them sleepers. That their mind has been so manipulated that they could do something at some time, be triggered by something, that to me is more frightening. But you know, when you get into the hypnotic regression, you're certainly bringing out these, like I said before, these surface layers, and I believe that these things are implanted in the abductee's mind to think that, to cover up what's really going on, which could be something totally more severe.
All right. Well, let's go to Willie, who's calling from Kennewick, okay. Washington. Hi, Willie. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was. I've called a couple times to kind of feel around a little bit on different guests that have been on, and one of the things I was always, I listened to Art Bell for a couple of years before I became a Christian, and he
once you're a Christian, you certainly don't want to be listening to Art Bell, other than to find what the enemy is doing.
Exactly. I'm always exactly. I was religious at the time, but I didn't know Christ, and a lot of the stuff that I heard on there made sense, but the more I got into the Bible, the less it made sense, and I kind of came to the conclusion that basically he's, I don't know, so I can't make an accusation against him, but I kind of got the impression that he was like the way he'd turn the volume down any time you started getting, you know, to bring things back to like a Masonic connection, and he'd use the 15-second delay and turn the volume down and talk over you to where when you were on the radio with him and you thought you were saying one thing, you were actually being talked over, where he could control the conversation. And I think the final thing that really, you know, stuck out was when he was trying to get all the listeners to astral project to the planet, to Comet Hale-Bopp. So.
Well, I think you just don't want to even fool with any of this sort of thing, because you're toying with eternal damnation.
Exactly. And you were talking about the Nephilim a minute ago.
Right.
Where I was born at in Colorado, in the museum, they had a skeleton that was like about 10 feet tall. And I have I don't have it anymore. I had a picture of my sister standing next to it. And the bones on this thing were as big without flesh on them as my sister's, you know, leg was with flesh on it in the picture. Like, you know, if you use it as scale. And I was just wondering about if, you know, how many of those sort of things there were as far as that. Because I think it's the Nephilim skeleton is what I think. But,
all we know is that the Nephilim were the offspring of the this union of the sons of God, who were, of course, were demons, and, of course, of women. And they were giants, and apparently there was tremendous knowledge, a tremendously advanced society at that time in history. But it was so evil and corrupt that God had to destroy it. Now, what is really so interesting, if you read the writings of the New Age and the occult, they will tell you that there was one time in the past when there was a very advanced society. They called it Atlantis. And, of course, Atlantis was destroyed by, of all things, a great flood. And, of course, what happened at the time of Noah was a great flood. Is this the same entity? Did Atlantis ever really exist? I don't know. Plato wrote about it in his dialogues, and the New Agers believe it existed. In fact, that's why Francis Bacon, back in the early 1600s, sent a band of Rosicrucians to the United States. And that was, of course, to take control of this country and create the New Atlantis. And Francis Bacon had written a book called The New Atlantis. The basic theme was America would become the New Atlantis and then would lead the whole world into this new world order that the occultists have always dreamed of, and, of course, preparing the way for the coming of the Antichrist, this world government led by this dark angel of death. So anything else you wanted to say, Willie?
Yeah, just kind of touching on the political aspect, since you went that direction. Yeah, I listen to, like, VCY America during the daytime, and they're always bringing up things about, you know, like, In God We Trust, or you know, the out of the Pledge of Allegiance,
right.
One Nation Under God, and that sort of thing, and I'm thinking, if we don't repent, as a nation we don't come together and get on our face and make phone calls, you know, but in that order for sure. First, get right with God, get down, you know, beg for forgiveness, and then make them phone calls to the uppers. That maybe it's not so much that we're turning our back on God as God is saying, if you don't start changing and start repenting, maybe it's God that's taking one nation under God out. Just something to kind of chew over.
Well, if you look at what's going on today, Willie, everything centers around a conspiracy against God. Homosexuality is a conspiracy against God. I mean, why do they want to take under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? For the same reason they wanted to take a mention of God and prayer out of our schools. Because they want to lead our children away from God and away from God's laws into rebelliousness. And this is what it's all about, is rebellion against God. And, of course, I remember so well, and I'm sure you do it too, those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, you know, God who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And if you go to Washington, D.C., to the Jefferson Memorial, you'll see those words chiseled in the granite behind that great statue, bronze statue of Thomas Jefferson. But that is never mentioned in our schoolrooms today. In fact, most Americans don't even understand that the Supreme Court, which voted to take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, opens the session every day when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. Talk about hypocrisy. And yet the Supreme Court can open mentioning God, but we can't tell our children about him. Why? Because they're not going to change the older people. They don't care. It's the minds and hearts and souls of the youth that they want. And they want them, of course, for their God, and that is Lucifer.
Can't have my kids.
Okay. Anything else, Willie?
No, sir. Just I'll pray for you tonight, and God bless you, and thank you for all you're doing.
God bless you, too. Paul, what do you think about what Willie was saying?
Oh, well, he mentioned the Art Bell Show, and I was fortunate to be on the show back in 2000. I think it was January of 2000. But interestingly enough, it wasn't with Art Bell. It was with a guest... her name was Barbara Simpson, and I was fortunate enough to bring out the Christian aspect of this whole phenomenon, so I was blessed on that sense. So praise God for that.
Well, I'm sure you do, and you reach a tremendous audience through the Art Bell Show, and I'm glad you were on there. Barbara Simpson does a program out, I think either KSFO in San Francisco, either that or KGO, and she does a great job. I think that she, you know, isn't dedicated to one side or the other. Was she very favorable to what you had to say?
Yes, she was very intrigued. She went through my book, and she said, boy, you know, it's great to have you on this show because you discuss everything that has been discussed on this show and you put it all together in one book, and she was amazed. It was a very good show.
Well, you know, you never know when you're going to touch somebody on radio. This is why I do radio, because you never know who's listening. But you would actually influence the host of the program as well if you put up a good argument. So
right.
I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to be there. And I think that George Norrie, who's doing the program now, has allowed a number of people who would be very sympathetic with your position and mine onto his program, and I'm certainly very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because what we have to do is reach the great majority of the American people and give them some grasp of what this is really all about. They're certainly never going to get it from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, but it was through people like yourself and like John Loeffler and Chuck Chrismeyer and other people that we get onto our programs. The message is getting out there. I think a lot more people know what's going on today than did 10 years ago. In fact, it sounds like Willie, who has just called us from Kennewick, is a new convert to Christianity, perhaps 5 years or so. And he's an older individual. So you really can bring people into the kingdom, even if they are older. And our job is to reach people, to get them questioning, to bring them things that will intrigue them. Perhaps they'll want to get your book. And I hope many of our listeners will want to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And get Paul Christopher's excellent book, Alien Intervention, The Spiritual Mission of UFOs. Because they are here for a purpose. A part of it is to deceive us, to make us think they're from outer space, but part of it, I believe, is in preparation for the time that lies very shortly ahead when we go into that final great battle between God and Satan. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back to wrap up this evening's program with our special guest this evening, Paul Christopher. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Paul Christopher, his book Alien Intervention, and it really gets into the spiritual mission of the UFOs and reveals a complex and ingenious scheme that is rapidly unfolding as the century begins here, as the last century ends, the new century begins. It unmasks the multidimensional activities associated with the UFO phenomenon, includes the bizarre interrelationship with the realm of the occult, because that's what it's really all about. There is an occult out there. You can go to any major city in the United States today and find a metaphysical bookstore, and that'll be among the most busy bookstores in the entire community, because literally millions of Americans are involved in the occult, in the witchcraft. If you go to the website, go to Google and punch in witchcraft, there are over 1,200,000 sites there, are entries dealing with witchcraft on Google today. What does that suggest to you? Suggest to me that an awful lot of people are dabbling in the occult without any realization that when they do, their eternal soul is at stake and in jeopardy. Well, Paul, what are your parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, the UFO phenomenon is a fascinating subject, and there's a lot involved. There's what I believe a complex scheme that's been going on since the 1940s. And in this book, I really delve into everything that's going on, from animal mutilations to the New Age Messiah, the UFO sightings of the 50s, the contacts, the organizations that are involved, and that this may be leading to the rise of the New Age Messiah or the Antichrist. So it's a very interesting topic, and I'm sure your readers would love to read it.
I think more than that, this is a very interesting time in which we live. Well, I mean, most people don't understand that the war in Iraq is the prelude to the Third World War, which is, I believe, the prelude to a great conflict that is going to just blow up in the Middle East and eventually going to spread here to the United States with devastating effect. I believe our economy is going to be ruined because of this, and America will go from being a first-rate nation to become a third-world nation, and it will happen because the good people of America allowed it to happen. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us tonight. It's a real pleasure, and I hope we can get you back on one of our other programs in the not-too-distant future.
Great, Stan. Thanks very much.
Good night. God bless you. All right. Our guest this evening has been Paul Christopher. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you will get his book. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Paul Christopher, his book, Alien Intervention. And if you'd like to know more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We also carry Chuck Missler's book. It's much more expensive than Paul's book. Paul's book is an excellent introduction. Chuck Missler's book is more of an encyclopedia, but it's an excellent book as well. It goes into alien abductions. and the fact that there are many scientists, certainly not Christians at all, who have studied this, and they believe it is a real phenomenon. In fact, many people who've studied the UFO phenomenon, like Jacques Vallée, probably the world's leading expert on UFOs, after spending 20 or 30 years of research, came to the conclusion that this was metaphysical. In other words, this isn't an interdimensional affair. It is certainly not something tangible, but it involves intangible things, this invisible world that we speak of. So we hope that you'll want to look into this. We don't want you to get involved with the Ouija boards or with the psychics, because these people have real power. The Ouija boards has real power. But, of course, you access to that power at the risk of your eternal soul. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is listener-supported. And if you agree that there's a problem and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, it's 5 hours a day. We reach out across America, really across the world, trying to get people to understand what's going on. Why, we'd love to have you consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, and, of course, our latest newsletter, that's the March newsletter, if you request it. The latest newsletter will tell you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings in the White House in the opening months of 2001, in January and February, 8 to 9 months before the September 11th attack. What were they talking about? Well, I'll tell you what they were talking about. They were talking about going to war with Iraq long before the terrorist attack. And we simply quote from the book written by Paul O'Neill, who attended those meetings. That's why he's being attacked, because you're not supposed to know what they were talking about. How they were going to divide up the oil. How they were going to divide up the oil of Iraq. How they were going to get us into a war in Iraq. How would you justify to the American people a preemptive attack on a sovereign nation like Iraq? Well, it's a fascinating newsletter. We hope you'll want to get it. We'll also give you a lot of the congressional testimony given before the House Senate Select Committee. Testimony that was totally blacked out by the controlled media, because you were never to know what was said at those hearings, and the fact that the government knew ahead of time that an attack was coming on the United States, and they knew it was going to involve airplanes, and they knew that one of the potential targets was the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. Well, that's covered in the newsletter, the March newsletter, and of course we just take it from government documents, government documents you'll not hear discussed elsewhere. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the video that goes with that. The video, Iraq, the Untold Story, the video, Diaprax in the Church, the story of the church growth movement, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, the story of the great wars of the last century, and of course the Third World War, which we're entering now, which many of your sons and daughters may well die in if we don't stop the insanity that controls Washington, D.C. today. And believe me, I'm not pushing either political candidate. They're both controlled. They're both members of the Skull and Bones, both controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. The greatest charade of all time you're seeing enacted right now, the two-party system, both controlled by the same people. So pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers. Please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Paul Walters. And, of course, Paul is has republished a book. It was written well before the turn of the last century. What year was the book actually published, Paul?
In 1899.
1899? Okay. And, of course, the title of the book was The Coming Battle. Why don't you tell our listener about the book, how you happened to find the book, how you happened to publish the book. Such an old book, and yet the message in it is as fresh as yesterday's sunrise.
Okay, how we found the book. The book was found in a garage sale about, eight, 9 years ago now, and I brought this thing home. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It contained the complete blueprint for destruction of this country as early as 1800s, and the guy who wrote it didn't know there was a conspiracy, so he didn't write anything about a conspiracy. He just wrote about the trends that took place throughout the 1800s, and I realized as I was reading that it's the same thing that's happening today, how bills go through different committees and how they put name on this particular bill when counted are just the opposite to fool the people.
Like they might call it the Tax Simplification Act, that would actually make taxes more complicated. Or No Child Left Behind would really be, we're going to control all your children and we're going to change their attitudes, values, and beliefs, but we're not going to tell you that. We're going to just give you the idea that we're trying to help the children.
Exactly. So a lot of people don't read these hundreds of pages of legislation. They just take the word of someone on the title, and that's how they pass a lot of these things. And basically what it is it's about the trio, the corporate interest, the government partnering make the current and the daily events that's happening around the country.
All right, and of course, that has to do, though, a lot with the monetary system as well, doesn't
it? That's right, the money power.
The money power is what really is behind it so much of what's going on. What people do not understand is that banks make money out of nothing. You go in, you want, of course, to get a loan, and you want to buy a house, all right? So what they do is you sign over the house that you're going to buy from them. They now have a lien on this house. They give you the money, and they use the house as the collateral to create the money out of nothing. So now they've lent you $100,000. You will pay interest on $100,000, and they didn't lend you $100,000. They use that house of yours to create the $100,000 that they gave you, and it's all a bank entry. Oh, if you want to have the cash, you can, but then they'll have to report you to the Office of Homeland Security, and you immediately become a suspected terrorist because you wanted to deal in cash. Well, of course, that was not how things were 100 years ago when this book was written. The whole idea is that as long as banks can create money out of nothing using collateral to use that, with everything is built upon debt. Is that be a valid statement?
Exactly. The whole thing is built on an illusion. Is you go into the bank to borrow money for a house, and actually what you're doing, you're not borrowing anything at all. You're creating money into existence, and then you pay back three times. By the time you get done paying that $100,000 back, you're paying $300,000 back.
That's in a 30-year loan, which you never want to take, incidentally. Always get a 15-year loan. A 30-year loan is just highway robbery. Well, now, of course, right now they're getting everybody to borrow money, and they're doing that by trying to get them to borrow up with a variable loan. We went down recently to borrow some money, and they offered us a variable loan, 4.53% on a variable interest loan. Well, that is just almost too good to pass up. The only trouble is that once interest rates start to go up, why, you are in real trouble. Because, of course, you could end up paying 8, 10, 12% or more on your loan. And so this is why you really need a fixed rate loan if you're going to get anything of any significant amount of money. Tell us what you learned from reading this book that was written in 1899.
Well, one of the biggest things that I learned is the how silver was demonetized, and how when silver came on the scene back throughout the 1800s, and how the silver did not pass through the money power's toll gate, so to speak, where it was basically, you know, people who dug the ore out of the ground and took that silver ore to the mint and have it melted down and made into money like dollars and half dollars and quarters and dimes, was the financial liberator of the American people. Well, they didn't like this, so what they did is they created a crisis to where they could demonetize silver, and they turned around and confiscated all the silver and shipped all the silver to Europe, so where silver was worthless, so their paper money was worth more than the actual silver dollar, which created one of the largest depressions in this country. They manipulated everything.
How were they able to demonetize silver? Did they just say you can no longer use silver? Because certainly when I was young, we used to have silver dollars and silver coins. So how did they demonetize it?
Well, it demonetized it, lost its purchasing power. It wasn't worth as much as their paper dollar could buy more than their silver dollar. So that's why they demonetized it, which created one of the largest depressions that hit the country from, I believe it was from 1874 to 1878, or 1873 to 1878, about 5 years. And as Mr. Wahlberg describes...
Mr. Wahlberg was the author of the book.
Yes, he describes it for the first time in the history of this country. What that created is the American tramp appeared on the American highway, which was the homelessness. We never had homelessness. And then they blamed the whole thing on farmers because it created starvation. They blamed the whole thing on farmers for overproducing food.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter. We're talking about a book that was written over 100 years ago called The Coming Battle. And we actually carry the book. We think it's very important. So you know the monetary history of this country as it was written up till 1899. And Mr. Wahlberg saw how this monetary system was going to be used eventually to impoverish the American people. Now, people have done very, very well during this last century, during the 20th century. We created tremendous illusion of prosperity. But it was all an illusion. It was based upon a fiat money system and absolutely nothing behind the money. And as long as people believed that the money was worthwhile, well, that was great. As long as we were the reserve currency of the world and other countries would take our money, that was fine. But the dollar is losing its value. And increasingly, the American government is shipping our wealth overseas, impoverishing the American people. And my concern is that very, very soon we will carry out the program that's laid out in the Earth Charter, where America's financial wealth will be distributed throughout the rest of the world as part of this internationalist globalist plan of taking us from a first world to a third world nation. Do you see those things happening, Paul?
Absolutely.
So basically tell us now, what are some of the things you learned in this book? Let's just get back down to the fundamentals of what the book tells us.
Well, what I've learned about the book is about this demonetization of silver, as I said before, about the London Times editorial. See, a lot of the stuff that's in this book, what was interesting in this book for me is that nothing is new under the sun. Everything that it was happening throughout the 1800s is happening today. The only difference is You have computers, you have electricity, you have all the, you know, a television. You didn't have that in those days. And so what the book did for me, it brought, brought everything into focus so I'd be able to understand the trends of today a little bit clearer, because the book to me was like a time machine where it took me back throughout the 1800s when things were a lot simpler than today's a little bit more complicated, and I was able to understand how the monetary system works, how the country works, how crooked the politicians were, for example. What they did, they actually passed legislation to roll the debt over from generation to generation, because Andrew Jackson believed the generation who creates the debt should be the generation that pays it off, so we don't pass this on, this debt, and indenture our children, our future generation, our children. They actually passed a piece of legislation that doesn't make any sense, that we need to roll this debt over, and it's been rolling over ever since. But now, of course, the debt is, what, 20, 50 trillion or 50, I mean, it's so big that it would basically take $25,000 to $50,000 for every man, woman, and child to pay this debt off, because the whole structure today is built on credit and debt.
And I think this is the important thing. We do not have a currency that has anything behind it. There's no gold behind our currency. There's no silver behind our currency. The only thing behind our currency is debt. It's all built upon debt, and that debt eventually, when it gets so high that you can no longer pay the interest on it, eventually collapses the economy. And right today, the United States has to borrow from communist China and from Japan and to a lesser extent from Germany and other countries $1.7 trillion a day just to keep our economy going. And, you know, of course, Japan, I think, put something like $200 billion. They gave us $200 billion, bought our bonds, which are worthless, but going down in value, just to keep the American economy collapsing so that they would be able to continue trading with us. But what happens when they finally get to the point they say, look, why do we want to invest our money over there? Because it's going down in value. They're intentionally devaluing the American dollar, and you keep putting your money in something, you're only getting 1 or 2% interest on it, and then, of course, the value of the bond is going down. What happens when these countries say, we can't afford to invest in American bonds anymore? At that point, we raise our interest rate, the economic system begins to crumble, the stock market bubble bursts, the housing bubble bursts, and we are in real financial problems. Now, did they have problems similar to that back in the times you're talking about,
yes,
Paul?
For example, on March 18, 1869, President Grant signed a bill, quote, an act to strengthen public credit. Now, what it did is it pledged, see, they, as they borrowed money from banksters, as Mr. Walbert calls them, they wanted a guarantee that the government would have an ability to pay this back with interest. Well, the government doesn't really own anything. You see, the only thing they really owned was the District of Columbia. Most of the property and wealth was owned by the people in its respective states. So what they did is they passed this bill called an Act to Strengthen Public Credit, declaring your property and your wealth as the collateral for the national debt. So in other words, your wealth that you have is the collateral for the national debt, and that's why you don't really own anything.
And that was legislation was passed in 1869?
March 18, 1869.
And of course,
pledging public faith as the payment for the interest obligation of the government in coin and equivalent, except where the law authorized to issue such obligations as expressed, provided that the same may be paid in lawful money. That's on page 47. So what they did is they pledged the American people and our wealth as the collateral for the national debt.
Well, of course, at that time, the national debt was primarily owned by Americans. That is no longer the case. I mean, certainly at least $1 trillion of our national debt is owned by other countries. And, of course, if we owe them money, why, we become subservient to them. This is what the people don't understand. And, of course, it's just going to get worse. We're going to have the largest federal deficit in all history this coming year. It will be close to $750 billion. The government admits to $500 billion. And then, of course, they never admit they're stealing all the money from Social Security and Medicare, which will, of course, increase that. And then, of course, they're not telling you right now that it's going to cost another $50 billion to fund our military activities over in Iraq. They're not going to tell us that till after the elections. So with that, well, you're probably talking close to $800 billion, almost $1 trillion in 1 year. It took us from 1789 to 1980. Almost 200 years to run up $1 trillion in debt, and George W. Bush is going to increase that debt almost $1 trillion in one single year. I wonder what that's going to do to the future stability of the American dollar.
Well, I remember being in San Diego once, and I picked up the San Diego Union, and I opened it up, and I couldn't believe what I saw in there, and it was a picture of a house of cards with a boulder on top. And the house of cards were kind of like buckling, and it says the economy. And that really says it all, is that the whole economy is built on debt, and the whole thing is about to collapse, because people think that the war is funded by our tax dollars, which really isn't. All they do is just print more and more and more money, and to fund these escapades around the world, and eventually it will be so big that the whole country will collapse because of its own debt, because you just can't build debt upon debt upon debt. And every time you turn around, you got a credit card in the mail that you've been pre-approved for. Credit card, all you do is sign on the dotted line, and you get a 10,000 instant credit, and they enjoy that. And the reason they're doing that is because it gives the illusion that the economy is still going, because people are still creating debt. That's why you get a credit card in the mail every month, knowing that people are not responsible, or they're going to start charging up. And every time you charge up, you're creating more credit, more debt, and eventually the whole thing is going to, the chickens are going to go home to roost. And, you know what's going to happen after that. The whole thing will collapse.
It's so interesting. You can buy a car now, nothing down, and then, of course, your first payment will be so many months from now, and at no interest rate. I just buy the car. I saw an ad the other day on television. Buy a used car for $39 down. That's all it takes. Or some of the, like Home Depot, buy today, no interest for 3 months, something like that. No payments for 3 months. What madness is this? Everything is being built upon credit. And, when you have enough credit, eventually you're going to have to do away with that credit. You can't pile credit upon top of credit upon top of credit. You have to get rid of all the credit to get down to a fundamental so you can start to get the economy to grow again. And everything we're doing is simply putting off the inevitable collapse of the economy, and things are going to be so much worse. If you simply would let this thing happen, it would be difficult for a year or two, and then we could begin to grow our economy again. But the way things are going down now today, the higher you go, the further you fall. And I fear we're in for an awfully large fall. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Paul Walter. His book is The Coming Battle, a book written almost over 100 years ago, and yet it has the story of what happened up to that time monetarily, and it continues on to this very day. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Paul Walter. Of course, we'll welcome your calls here. At Radio Liberty, like to know what you feel about what's going on, and those of you who've read the book would love to get your thoughts on this, because there really is nothing new under the sun at all. The same scams are being pulled on the people today that have been in the past, and every time we go into one of these depressions, why, goods move from weak hands to small hands, the rich get richer, and the poor, of course, lose it all. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter. The book he's discussing, The Coming Battle, and we've got Daniel calling from South Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. Very good. Well, you know, I'm listening. I've read the book.
Oh, you have read the book. Great. What did you think of it?
Well, you know, I didn't read all of it. I've read a lot of other books on topic, but I have read most of it. It is good, and it's important to know these things. You mentioned something that you said that we were borrowing $1.7 trillion a day.
$1.7 billion a day.
Oh, okay. I thought, yeah, because, you know, this debt is, it's just, everything's really important, and, anyway, that was kind of, because when I talk to people, we got to be precise about all
right.
These numbers and things. And have you heard of Walter Burian?
Right, I have.
The CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
I've got them. I've even got the reports, and I, at least in my community, I can't verify what he said. Maybe he's right, but I don't think so. I think those funds are set aside for pensions and for other things. I don't think this is something they can spend. Have you looked at all in the CAFR reports, Paul? Do you know anything at all about them?
No, but I know Walter Burian. He comes visit Southern Oregon a lot, where I'm from, and he stopped by not long ago and gave us video and that stuff, but I don't know too much about it either. But I know that the public retirement funds and they got billions and billions and billions of dollars hidden.
Sure they do, but we can't tap into those because that's set aside for the public employees' retirement. That's the thing. Daniel, I don't know. I know that Joel Skousen has said he's looked into it. He does not believe it's exactly as put forward. All I know is that when I got a CAFR report, I could not find any evidence of that either. Maybe it's there. You're going to have to get somebody smarter than I am.
Okay, just one quick comment. You know, obviously there's a big problem with this debt, and I talk to senators, and when I mention it, you know, they don't even really talk about it anymore, but their eyes just kind of glaze over. And I think they're well-intentioned, but I think they're all compromised, and it's really disturbing. And hopefully we can focus our prayer, because there probably is some asset if there's all these investments and everything's nationalized. We could make a conversion back to constitutional currency, and because in the Constitution, in the 14th Amendment, it says that any debt incurred against the rebellion against the Republic or the United States, sovereign state of America, the Union, is not standing. It should be null and void. And I think we need to close our borders and open our doors and our hearts to prayer and just kind of get on a page there. Hopefully, you know, we can all, you know, God help us all.
We're in real trouble. There's no question about that. And certainly we're going to have to pray. But we're going to have to close our borders, not only to immigrants, at least temporarily, but close our borders to all these goods coming in from slave labor countries.
Exactly.
There's no way we can have American workers who are making, $20 an hour compete with Chinese who are making 64 cents an hour. It just isn't going to work. And what they're going to do is, of course, destroy the economy of this country and impoverish the working class.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. Again, God bless you. And I think there was a law called the U.S. Trading and Tariffs in 1800s or 1900s.
Hold that thought for just a minute here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Daniel calling from South Los Angeles. You were saying what about this Trading Act?
It's called the U.S. Trade and Tariff Law of 1800s, early 1900s. I think it was 1920s. And it says that this law isn't even being enforced. It says that we're not even supposed to allow business to be done with communist entities. And so,
well, don't you know, Daniel, there's no more communism in the world. If you don't believe it, just ask Rush Limbaugh. Okay, thanks so much for calling.
Right.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Daniel. Hi, Daniel. How you doing? Pardon me, dude. Tony, how you doing?
Oh, you got a name change.
Right.
Oh, I'm fine. I've got a question for, actually, a few Dr. Stan, because you've never really answered this one, to the best of my knowledge. fact, to go back one step, in 1896, William James Bryan ran for president, and he was very famous for one particular speech.
William Jennings Bryan.
Should not crucify mankind on a cross of gold.
Right, yeah. And I never really understood that until I sort of read the speech and then did a little digging into it. And what had happened was they had demonetized silver, and the only money was gold. And gold was scarce, and so there wasn't a whole lot of money around. And prices were hard, wages were lower, and it was very difficult. It was a deflationary time. And he wanted silver to be money, to increase the money supply, and that's kind of what that was all about. But my question is, Dr. Stan, and I'm going to ask you this. Do you think in the next 4 to 10 years that we're in for a time of inflation or deflation?
Yes. I think we're going to have a time of inflation. I think we're going to have a time of deflation. I believe initially, to try to get us out of this mess we're in, I think they're going to inflate the economy, and then, of course, to try to prevent the collapse of the system, they're going to have a deflation. So I think we're going to have both. That's my opinion, but I think the inflation will precede the deflation.
It's in the Coming Battle talks about that, where they did that throughout the 1800s, too, meaning that they made the money extremely easily available, and then all of a sudden they made the money scarce where you couldn't get the money, and they kept manipulating the whole economy.
And I think that's exactly what they're going to do again, Tony.
Well, one way that that could be done, and I'm starting to see signs of it in the different news I read on the Internet, especially with the Arab countries wanting to create the gold dinar, and their reluctancy now to take U.S. dollars, and since they buy most of their goods from Europe anyway, they have to take the dollars, convert them to euros. They're losing money on the exchange rate. They want to go back to gold because it says that in the Quran, according to them. They have to have the dinar. And if we did get into an inflationary period, and right now the price of gold, for example, is going up in all world currencies, not just dollar. If we did get into an inflationary period and things did collapse, where everybody sort of woke up and realized that all of this fiat money is just paper and ink, what are we going to do? There could come a period of time where maybe the Arabs actually might lead the way in returning to a gold standard, gold and silver. If that were to happen, it would be extremely deflationary. And do you have any comment on that?
Well, do you want to comment on that for him, Paul?
I don't know how to comment on this, because I didn't really clearly understand the question.
All right, he's saying that if the world returned to a gold standard and we didn't have any gold, would this be deflationary as far as the American economy is concerned?
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to allow the United States to return back on gold standard. Because money used to be made, by silver and gold. You had silver certificates and gold certificates. Of course, there was a lot more silver than there was gold. That's why they got rid of the silver, because silver was a threat to them, because they couldn't control it because there was too much of it. Gold was more scarce. And I don't think they ever allow the country to go back on gold standard, because gold stabilizes the currency. And euro is basically, I think, what, one-third on gold or one-quarter?
I think it's about 15% is my understanding.
Something like that.
But at least it has a gold backing for its currency. We have no backing for our currency at all, other than our faith in our politicians. And I'd say that's a pretty poor place to put our faith. Tony, if you want to hang on till we get through this break, I'll give you my view of what's going to happen.
I appreciate that.
Based not upon what I think, but what Samuel Huntington thinks. And Samuel Huntington's a lot smarter than I am. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Paul Walter, his book, The Coming Battle, and of course if you'd like to get it, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Paul has a website. It's called newswithviews.com. How many hits are you getting on that a day now, Paul?
Well, we're up to approximately 8 to 12 million hits per month now.
8 to 12 million hits per month. So if we could divide that to, say, 12 million, that would be maybe 300,000 or so a day, something like that, 400,000 a day?
Somewhere around that. I'm hopefully that by end of this year we'll be a million a day. That's where I'm driving to, because once we get a million a day, I could say we've kind of arrived, so to speak, you know, on the scene.
All right, fine. Well, now, I was going to answer Tony. He was trying to figure out what is going to happen economically. Probably one of the more thoughtful books I've read is called The Class of Civilizations by Samuel Huntington. Samuel Huntington is a professor of history at Harvard University. He's the chairman of the Department of History. He's a spokesman for the establishment. And in his book, The Class of Civilizations, written in 1996, the book is lauded and applauded and endorsed by two people that I believe are very close to the power elite that rules the world. One of them is Henry Kissinger. The other is Zbigniew Brzezinski. And, Tony, I'm sure you know who both of they are.
Yes.
One, of course, pretends to be a Democrat. The other tends to be a Republican. But, of course, they're both part of the ruling elite who determine the future of us common folks. In the book, of course, Samuel Huntington talks about what should be done to avoid a world crisis. And, first of all, he talks about the various cultures that exist in the world today. There's Western culture, Orthodox culture, Confucian culture, Buddhist culture, the Japanese culture, the Hindu culture, the Muslim culture. And there are seven cultures in the world today. And they're all separate. You can't join them together. And what we want to do, of course, if we are going to survive, is to unite Western culture, that we should never be a division between the United States and Europe. And so what have we accomplished recently? We've created a division between the United States and Europe. We should never interfere in the affairs of other countries. We should never force our views on the Muslim countries, try to make their culture like our culture, because it won't work. So what are we doing? Trying to make their culture like our culture. And the last thing is, we should never get involved in a war with those countries, because if we do, the war will grow into a world war with, of course, horrible consequences for the United States and other countries. And in just a moment, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Paul Walter, his book, The Coming Battle. Tony's on the line. He was asking me what I think is going to happen. And I was simply telling him what Samuel Huntington says in his book, The Class of Civilizations, which is written in 1996, where he tells us what we should do to avoid a clash of civilizations and a catastrophic war. And we've done everything exactly the opposite of what he said. We have created barriers between ourselves and Europe. We have interfered in the affairs of the Muslim countries, tried to force our culture upon their culture, and finally, we've gotten ourselves into a war with Iraq and Afghanistan, which will unite the Muslim world against us and will lead into the Third World War. And this will expand and will involve Russia and China and countries throughout the world in this catastrophic exchange, and probably end up with a nuclear exchange of some sort, and with the impoverishment of the northern countries, and that would be specifically of Russia and of Europe and the United States. And the expense of this would simply impoverish our countries. We would become second-rate and third-rate nations, and the leadership of the world would shift to the south, in other words, Latin America and Africa, because they wouldn't be involved in the coming war. Fascinating thing to contemplate. Does he know what's going to happen? Well, I will tell you that we've done everything exactly the opposite from what he suggested. And I think we're moving into that war at the present time. So all we can do is, we can't stop what is going to happen. All we can do is try to get people to understand that there's spiritual forces behind this. And if you've ever seen the logo of Zygmunt Brzezinski's Trilateral Commission, you remember that Zygmunt Brzezinski was commissioned by David Rockefeller to form the Trilateral Commission. If you look very carefully and you've got a suspicious mind, you'll see three intertwining sixes. I wonder why they picked that logo for the Trilateral Commission. Anything else, Tony?
Mark of the Beast.
So I take it that you think that there was something about when Albert Pike wrote to Mazzini about the three wars.
I think there is, and I believe... I've never seen a copy of that letter. I know many people believe it, and certainly I believe that there's much to suggest that this is exactly what's going to happen.
I just read a story about that on a website, educateyourself.org, and they cover a lot of the same things you do. But they said that that letter is in the London Institute of something or other.
Supposedly it's the London Museum, but I just don't know anybody who's ever seen it.
Yeah, that's what they had mentioned.
Well, I will tell you one thing. I do know a friend of mine. His name is Des Griffin. He tried to track down that story. It was first appeared in a book called Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. And William Guy Carr had passed away, but there was a friend of his who had all of the papers and was going to give Des the documentation on that. And just the day before he and Des were to meet, why this man died. And of course, at that point, Des had no way to actually document that letter. So I can't document it. It sounds very logical. It could very well be the case. If we see things unfolding the way that they are, I believe this is what's going to happen. Does the letter exist? I'd sure love to see a copy of it, a facsimile of a copy.
Well, if we did have a major global situation going back to currencies, you know, I know it's a, you know, sort of a question that you're talking about the bankers and all that. I don't see that it's too far of a foregone conclusion that we could get into an inflationary period followed by a deflationary period where the economies or the, well, let's just say the fiat currencies of the world do collapse and there is a return to a gold standard, silver standard, and based on the scarcity of it, we would definitely be a third world nation again, at least for a generation.
Could very well be, or maybe we'll go to a cashless society, which I think is what they would like to happen, and I hope and pray it never does.
I think that'll be the next step.
Paul, what would your thoughts be? How would you respond to Tony?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what heading to is a cashless society, because of what we have today is, see, they can't control everything. There's a lot of subterranean income out there where people have businesses, have cash businesses, they receive cash and they put the money in the pocket and they can't control the economy. They can't collapse the economy when they wanted to and do things that they want to because there's a lot of cash floating out there and that is very dangerous to their agenda when they have a cash society and debit card is heading in that direction. What debit card is, you can only charge what's in your account, and when you have no money account, you can't charge anymore. So, and basically, that is heading in the direction of the cash society. And once you're in a cash society, you lost everything because they can control every movement that you make, everything that you do will be controlled by them. You will live on your knees, basically.
I think this is exactly what they want, Tony. Only time is going to tell whether they'll be able to pull this off.
Well, I believe that's the ultimate goal. I just don't know when that's going to happen.
We don't know either. See, that's what they're not feeling. The last caller that called up mentioned about the borders being sealed. They're never going to seal the borders because they want as many illegals in here as possible to create the maximum chaos. Eventually, you will have... there's an article on newsreviews.com that was written by D.V. Kidd, and if you go on newsreviews.com... And click on DV Kid, and it's in her archives. An article about the how the Denver Post ran an article back in, I believe it was 1992 or somewhere on it. We scanned that whole Denver Post article and the map in, so it's in there as well. And Denver Post basically said how they want to have regions. You will not have states. You will have strictly regions, northern region, southern region, western region.
and there's going to be no more borders. They're going to eliminate all this. And it actually was in Denver Post. I mean, yeah, it was either Denver Post or Rocky Mountain News. I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but it tells you exactly what the plan is, and that's why they got so many illegals coming in. Once you have the Mexican majority in Arizona, what do you think they're going to vote for? They're going to vote for the very thing that they escaped from. They're going to see you can take the forest out of the boy, but you can't take the boy out of the forest. They create the very condition that they escaped from.
They'll vote for Vicente Fox, I'm sure. Anyway, anything else you'd like to get, Tony?
Well, that sounds just like Taylor Caldwell's book, Devil's Advocate.
Right, it sure does. Well, of course, that had a happy ending. Let's hope this one does as well.
Well, I'm going to try and be optimistic.
We have to be, because, you see, be pessimistic, it shows that we really don't have any faith in the Lord. Yes, we're in for difficult times. Yes, I believe there's going to be great suffering, but these things will only draw us closer to the Lord. And as long as we are dependent upon our material possessions, we're not dependent upon Him. Now, I'm not saying that we should not try to do everything we can to protect ourselves and our families, but in the final analysis, it's going to be our relationship. The Lord is going to see us through this, not what we're able to acquire.
Well, I agree. But I also, one thing I believe is that we're commanded to be good stewards of what we have.
Absolutely.
And as good stewards, if we have the right focus, we can use our assets to the benefit not only of our own immediate families, but to other people. And I believe that that is the ultimate accomplishment of being a good steward, as far as being able to be a benefit and a blessing to those just beyond your immediate circle. And I think that as Christians, we need to be aware of the times and be aware of what's going on. And if we do, and we have a good mind, and we pray, and we work hard, and we keep our agenda in the proper order, I believe that God will bless us and give us more responsibilities to be able to be used in these times.
Amen to that.
I mean, for example, if let's just say that there were a food shortage, would we be able to help our neighbors, et cetera? I mean, you can expound on that. I think that we're supposed to use our material blessings to be able to be concerned about others.
Amen to that.
And that's one of the reasons why I think that we, and you've had many programs on what's going on with gold and silver, for example, like Ron Brown and others, and I applaud you, and it really does seem like it's getting a little crazy right now on the bullion markets.
It sure is. We're in for an exciting ride, and I hope that our people who have been listening to our program have been making their preparations. If they have, they've done very well.
Well, right now in overnight trading, silver is just a hair under $8. hint, hint. And nice program, and I'll be listening.
God bless. Bye-bye, Tony. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there, pardon me, if you're here in the Central Coast of California, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for our special guest this evening, Paul Walter, talking about the book that he has reprinted called The Coming Battle. And we carry the book because we think it's an important book to understand the history of the monetary system and the realization that there's nothing new under the sun. They're playing the same games over and over again. I believe we're moving into a catastrophic financial situation where so many people are going to lose their homes, and of course, you know who's going to end up with them? Why, the banksters. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, that's what this game Monopoly is all about. The guy with the handlebar mustache is J.P. Morgan. And if you understand the game Monopoly, why is it called Monopoly? Who's got the monopoly in the game Monopoly? The guy who controls the money, the banker. And you buy homes, you buy hotels, you go to jail, you go free. What that game is really all about is the bankers control everything, your whole life. And at the end, when you go belly up and you go broke, who winds up with everything? The banker.
There is a fascinating letter I found when I went through Colonel House's papers at Yale University back in 1980, and it's a letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House, in which he said, "As you and I both know, Colonel, financial interests have controlled the government of the United States since at least for 100 years, and I include in that the administration of W.W. which meant Woodrow Wilson, because Colonel House had been very close to Woodrow Wilson. Of course, the President of the United States didn't know that Colonel House was working hand in glove with these financial interests, that Colonel House was their agent there in the White House, working in the White House to control FDR. He just didn't understand how the game was played. But if anybody would like copies of that letter, we make them available. I think they're included in our syllabus on the Millennium Summit, Millennium Madness. But if you'd like a free copy of that newsletter so you can actually hold it in your hand as I did, I held the original and made a copy of that. You have to understand FDR understood that. Woodrow Wilson, writing in his book, The New Freedom, published in 1913. I know that papers are in the Millennium Madness syllabus. Why, Woodrow Wilson said, you know, since I've been in public life, there are many men of great wealth have come to me. And they all know that there is a force so organized, so all-seeing, so powerful, that they dare speak of it only in whispers and never, of course, out loud. They fear this force. And, of course, he's talking about the financial interests. This is 1913, Woodrow Wilson writing about this very force, which, of course, he eventually became a tool of because of Colonel House, who manipulated Woodrow Wilson. He actually controlled Woodrow Wilson. And the only way you can understand that is to understand that Colonel House was deeply involved with the occult. And, of course, he used his supernatural power to control not only the President of the United States, but, of course, the Prime Minister of France and the Prime Minister of Italy. And you'll see that if you quotations in my book from Colonel House's papers, which we went through. I spent weeks going through them. And you begin to realize this man had truly mystical powers, and he utilized those. Because this whole banking movement ties into the occult. You can trace it right back to the Knights Templar back in the 1200s, an occult organization of whose leader, Jacques de Molay, was eventually burned at the stake because he was found to be a Luciferian. So there's nothing new under the sun at all. Well, Paul, what do you think that our readers will really learn when they read the book, The Coming Battle? Will they see the fact that it's like deja vu all over again?
Absolutely. Let me read you one thing here that it's on page 200 about the Democratic platform of 1840. Resolved, the Congress has no power to charter a United States bank, that we believe such institutions to be one of deadly hostilities to the interests of the government, dangerous to our republican institutions and liberties of the American people, and calculated to place the business of the country within the control of the centralized money power and above the laws and the will of the people. That's the Democratic platform of 1840. Can you believe this? And what the Democratic platform of today is?
What people don't understand is that the Federal Reserve System is a privately owned institution. It is not a government entity. And of course, Alan Greenspan works for this privately owned central bank, and he manages the economy for the benefit of the bankers, not for the benefit of the people. People have no idea that the whole system is set up, we win, you lose. That's how it works. And we are moving towards a catastrophic situation where people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their property, they're going to lose their cars, everything they own money on, they're not going to be able to pay them off, and it's going to be people out demonstrating in the streets. As it is in Argentina today, where half the country of Argentina, which just a few years ago was a prosperous nation, half the country of Argentina today lives in poverty.
They destroyed the whole country. And what's really amazing to me is you have politicians who lie through the nicotine-stained teeth to people. They sell out their own country. They sell out their own soul doing the bidding of these centralized banksters, as Mr. Walbert calls them, and they don't see anything wrong with this. And it's done so cleverly and disguised so cleverly that the people will never catch on to what's really happening to them. And it's the same thing in this country, and that's why the coming battle is so important. For example, it talks about Napoleon IV or III, and how he tried to unite Europe, all the countries in Europe, under a common currency. And what are they doing today? They're doing exactly that today, except they couldn't accomplish it. Napoleon couldn't accomplish it, and they're accomplishing it today. And that's why the coming battle is so important, because it's so easy to understand
once you understand the coming battle, you'll understand what's happening today a lot easier.
Well, I think that we don't understand history. What was it that Santayana, George Santayana said? Those who do not remember history are condemned to repeat it. And I fear that we're going to see the same forces at work in America today. I believe we're moving towards a catastrophic and cataclysmic event here in the United States financially. And heaven help the people who have not made the preparations for it. I believe that the FEMA is setting up relocation camps, not because they fear of a terrorist attack, but because of the civil unrest that they believe is coming in America. That's why they're collecting dossiers on Americans. The Army is in the process of doing that. If you don't believe that, you need to get my copy of my latest newsletter, where we actually quote General Odom, who headed the NSA, National Security Administration, saying, should the Army be collecting dossiers on American citizens? We'll be right back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Paul Walter. His book, The Coming Battle, must reading to understand the history of the past, to understand what's going on today. If you'd like to learn more about getting the book, the number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. An important book giving you the understanding of the history of our monetary system prior to the point where the central bankers took over our economy. And they sold the whole idea of a Federal Reserve System to the American people, telling them, well, this is how we're going to keep the central bankers from controlling your economy and your banks. And actually, the American people never understood. The Federal Reserve did exactly the opposite. It gave control to the central bankers, or control over our economy and over our banks. That's what it was all about, and to this very day, most people believe the Federal Reserve is a branch of the federal government. It has never been. It has always been a privately owned central bank, and believe me, it has no reserves, other than those that it prints out of nothing, as it makes money out of nothing, and then has the audacity to charge interest on it. Well, Paul, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners this evening?
Well, I strongly urge that everyone owns the book, The Coming Battle, because it's so easily understood. And what the crooks are doing, is what I call them crooks, is they create problems, then they come in and offer a solution to the problem, then you have the desired outcome. And what they're doing is they advance to retreat. In other words, two steps forward, one back. Two steps forward, one back. Because if you go two steps forward, people catch up and say, whoa, you know, I don't like this. It's like gas prices, for example. They go from $1 to $1.80. Everybody complains. Then they go back down to $1.30 and say, whew, wow, is gas cheap now? So when it's $1.30, then they go to $2, and then they back down to $1.50, and now you have $2.50, and people are still not complaining. Can you imagine? And that's how it's done. It's done gradually to the people, and when you read The Coming Battle, you'll understand how the whole economy is manipulated the same way.
And, of course, in those days, why they had gold as the basis of the currency, the banksters controlled the gold. They didn't want silver there because they didn't want to expand the monetary supply to give the people the opportunity to have prosperity. But when your economy is expanding, you have to increase the monetary system. That's one way of doing it with silver, and that's why, of course, they had to do away with silver so they could crucify our people on a cross of gold. Paul, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you here as a guest.
Thank you very much.
Good night. God bless. Give my best to Lorraine.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Dr. Stan, be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our program, who know there's a problem, who would like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every weekday, and as you know, our weekend programs turn on 35 stations. So we do have an outreach, and you'd be amazed as you can see the orders coming in. Maybe most of them are simply they want a free newsletter, but all across the country, almost every state in the union, we have people who are listening to the program, getting the information, and of course, hopefully, some of them eventually will become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. So if you'd like to know more about joining the Radio Liberty family and getting a free copy of the newsletter and four best tapes of the month every month, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, and as I mentioned last hour, my March newsletter tells you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings that were held in January and February of the year 2001. That would be about 8 to 9 months before the September 11th attack. What were they talking about at those meetings? Well, you'll be shocked when you read my newsletter, because we simply quote the book by Paul O'Neill, who was Secretary of the Treasury, attended those meetings and heard the plans for the war with Iraq. Didn't talk about weapons of mass destruction. Didn't talk about what a terrible guy Saddam Hussein was. What were they talking about? All the oil fields and how they were going to divide up the oil. You'll want to get our Wednesday, pardon me, our newsletter, and you'll have to ask specifically for the March newsletter, and we'll be glad to get you a free copy. Of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe to it. Now, I have to tell you in all good honesty that we have these up on the website, and they'll be up there a couple of weeks after they're published and distributed to our supporters, the people who subscribe to the newsletter. And you can subscribe to the newsletter, get it on a monthly basis if you'd like, and that helps us do what we do. Anything, of course, you get through Radio Liberty does help us. We hope that you'll tell other people about our radio programs. You go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day. You can hear our programs 4 hours a day on shortwave at WHRI, that's 5.745 megahertz. WHRI 5.745 megahertz. Please tell others about our shortwave programs. Tell them about our internet programs. Try to get them to listen. And if you can't convince them there's a problem, maybe if they listen to our programs, they'll become aware of the fact that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought for the hearts and minds and souls of the American people. And we're losing that battle because the American people don't even understand there's a war going on. Of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, get our new video, it's entitled Iraq, the Untold Story, get our video, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, get our video on population control or sustainable development or millennium madness, and many of these actually have syllabuses with them where you'll get all sorts of documentation, the letter that President Roosevelt sent to Colonel House, talking about, as you and I both know, Colonel, this country has been controlled by financial interests for 100 years, and I'm not accepting the regime of WW. That was written in 1934, as I remember. But you can actually get a copy, hold that in your hand, and duplicate it and get people to understand there's nothing new under the sun. Woodrow Wilson's words, that even back in 1913, there was a force so powerful, so all-seeing, that the richest men in the country that he knew were afraid to speak of it above a whisper. The same thing is going on today where people are afraid to speak out. And if they do, of course, immediately are attacked and vilified, as we're seeing now with poor old Richard Clark. But then I believe in many ways he's playing a part as well. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.